had seen them plainly. Certain of the cardinals also, who enjoyed great familiarity with St. Francis, composed devout and beautiful hymns, antiphons, and proses in honor of the said sacred holy stigmata. The sovereign pontiff also, Pope Alexander, when preaching to the people in the presence of the cardinals, among whom was the holy brother Bonaventure, himself a cardinal, affirmed that with his own eyes he had seen the sacred holy stigmata of St. Francis during his lifetime. And the lady Jacoba di Settistoli, who was the greatest lady in Rome of her time and most devout to St. Francis, before and after his death, saw and kissed them with great reverence, for she came from Rome to Assisi by divine revelation at the death of St. Francis, and thus it came to pass. A few days before his death, St. Francis lay sick in the bishop's palace at Assisi with certain of his companions, and notwithstanding his infirmity, he oftentimes sang canticles in honor of Jesus Christ. One of his companions therefore said to him one day, "Father, thou knowest that the citizens of this place have great faith in thee, and account thee to be a holy man. Perhaps, therefore, they may think that, if thou be what they take thee for, being so grievously sick, thou shouldst think upon death in this thine infirmity, and weep rather than sing. And know that this singing of thine and of ours, whom thou wilt have to sing with thee, is heard by many in the palace and without, for as much as this palace is guarded on thine account by many men at arms, who may perhaps take scandal thereat. Therefore, I think," said this friar, "that thou wilt do well to depart hence and to return to St. Mary of the Angels, for we are not well here among seculars." Then St. Francis answered him, "Thou knowest, dearest brother, that 2 years ago when we were at Foligno, God revealed the end of my life to thee, and he revealed it to me also, that in this sickness and in a few days, this my life shall come to an end. And in this revelation God assured me of the remission of all my sins and of the bliss of paradise. Until I received that revelation, I wept over my sins and at the thought of death. But since I have received it, I have been so full of joy that I can weep no longer. And therefore I sing, and will sing to God, who hath bestowed on me the gift of his grace, and hath certainly promised me the gift of heavenly glory. For our departure hence, it pleaseth me well, and I willingly consent thereto. But find you a way to carry me, for because of my infirmity I cannot walk." Then the brethren took him up and bore him on their shoulders, and many of the citizens went with them. And coming to a hostel which was on the way, St. Francis said to those who bore him, "Set me down upon the ground and turn my face toward the city." And when he was thus turned toward Assisi, he blessed the city with many blessings, saying, "Blessed be thou of God, O holy city, for as much as by means of thee many souls shall be saved, and in thee many servants of God shall dwell, and of thy children many shall be elected to eternal life." And when he had said these words, he caused himself to be borne onwards to St. Mary of the Angels, and they carried him to the infirmary, and there laid him down to rest. Then St. Francis called to him one of his companions, and said to him, "Dearest brother, God has revealed to me that by this sickness, a few days hence, I am to pass from this life. And thou knowest that the devout lady Jacoba di Settistoli, who was so dear to our order, would be deeply grieved should she hear of my death, not to have been present at it. Therefore signify to her that if she desire to see me again in life, she must come hither with all speed." And the brother made answer, "Too true, father, for indeed, because of the great devotion she bears thee, most unmeet were it that she should not be present at thy death. Go then," said St. Francis, "bring pen and paper, and write as I shall bid thee." And when he had brought them, St. Francis dictated the letter in the following form: "To the Lady Jacoba, the handmaid of the Lord, Brother Francis, the poor little one of Christ, wishes health and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost in our Lord Jesus Christ. Be it known to thee, most beloved, that Christ our Lord hath by his grace revealed to me the day of my death, which is near at hand. Wherefore, if thou wouldst find me alive as soon as thou shalt receive this letter, do thou set forth immediately, and come to St. Mary of the Angels, For if thou come not forthwith, thou shalt not find me alive. And bring with thee haircloth wherein to wrap my body, and the cerecloth that will be needed for my burial. I pray thee that thou wouldst bring me also some of the food, such as thou gavest to me when I was sick at Rome. Now, while this letter was being written, it was revealed to St. Francis that the Lady Jacopo was coming to him, and was already near at hand, and that she had brought with her all the things which were asked for in the letter. Having then received this revelation, St. Francis bade the brother who was writing to write no more, for it was not needed, but to lay the letter aside, whereupon the brethren greatly marveled why he would not have it finished or sent. But a short space afterwards there came a loud knocking at the door, and St. Francis bade the porter open it, which when he had done he saw the Lady Jacopa, the most noble of all the ladies of Rome, with two of her sons, who were senators of Rome, and a great company of horsemen. And they entered the house, and the Lady Jacopa went straight to the infirmary to St. Francis. And St. Francis felt great consolation at her coming, and she also rejoiced exceedingly to find him alive and to speak with him. Then she declared to him how, being at Rome in prayer, God had revealed to her that his life would shortly come to an end, and that he would send for her and ask those things of her which she had now brought. Then she brought them to St. Francis and gave him to eat. And when he had eaten and was now much strengthened thereby, the Lady Jacopa knelt at the feet of St. Francis, and with such exceeding devotion kissed and bathed with her tears those feet marked and adorned with the wounds of Christ, that the brethren who were standing round thought they beheld the Magdalene at the feet of Jesus Christ, and could in no way remove her from him. At length, after a long space of time, they raised her up, and taking her aside, they asked her how it was she had come thus opportunely, and thus well provided with all things needful for St. Francis, both in his life and for his burial. To this the Lady Jacopa answered, that as she was praying one night in Rome, she heard a voice from heaven which said, If thou wouldst find St. Francis alive, go without delay to Assisi, and take with thee those things which thou hast been accustomed to prepare for him in sickness, and those which shall be needed for his burial. And continued the lady, As the voice bade me do, so have I done. So the Lady Jacopa abode at Assisi until St. Francis passed from this life and was buried, and she and all her company paid great honor to his burial, and bore all the cost of it. Then returning to Rome, that noble lady soon afterwards died a holy death, desiring out of devotion to St. Francis to be carried to St. Mary of the Angels and there to be buried, which was done according to her will. How Jerome, who at first believed not, saw and touched the sacred holy stigmata of St. Francis. On the death of St. Francis, his glorious sacred stigmata was seen and kissed, not only by the said Lady Jacopa and her company, but by many citizens of Assisi, among others by a knight of great renown named Jerome, who had doubted much and disbelieved them, as St. Thomas disbelieved the wounds of Christ. And to assure himself and others, he boldly, in the presence both of the brethren and of seculars, moved the nails in the hands and feet, and strongly pressed the wound in the side, by which means he was enabled to bear constant witness to the truth of the miracles, swearing on the Gospels that he had seen and touched the glorious holy stigmata of St. Francis, the which were seen and touched also by St. Clare and her religious, who were present at his burial. Of the day and year of the death of St. Francis. St. Francis, the glorious confessor of Christ, passed from this life in the year of our Lord, 1226, on Saturday, October 4, and was buried on the Sunday following. He died in the 20th year of his conversion, that is, from the time when he began to do penance, the second year after the impression of the sacred holy stigmata, and the 45th of his age. Of the canonization of St. Francis. St. Francis was canonized in the year 1228 by Pope Gregory IX, who came in person to Assisi for his canonization, and this shall suffice for the fourth consideration. Of the fifth and last consideration of the sacred holy stigmata. The fifth and last consideration is of certain apparitions, revelations, and miracles which God vouchsafed after the death of St. Francis, in confirmation of the truth of his sacred stigmata, and to certify the day and hour on which Christ gave them to him. In the year of our Lord, then, 1282, in the month of October, Brother Philip, the minister of Tuscany, by the command of Brother John Buonagrazia, the minister general, required under holy obedience Brother Matthew de Castiglione of Arezzo, a man of great devotion and sanctity, to tell him what he knew of the day and hour in which the sacred holy stigmata were impressed by Christ on the body of St. Francis, because he had heard that it had been revealed to him. And Brother Matthew, being constrained by holy obedience, made answer thus: Being one of the community of Alvernia, last May I was praying in my cell, which is on the spot where the seraph is believed to have appeared. And in my prayer I besought God most devoutly that he would be pleased to make known to some person the day, the hour, and the place in which the sacred holy stigmata were impressed on the body of St. Francis. And persevering thus for a long time in this prayer, St. Francis appeared to me in great glory and said to me, My son, what prayer art thou making to God? And I said to him, Father, I am praying such and such things. And he said to me, I am thy father Francis. Dost thou know me? Yes, Father, said I. Then he showed me the sacred holy stigmata in his hands and feet and sighed, saying, The time is now come when God wills that to be manifested for his glory, which the brethren have not hitherto sought to know. Know then that he who appeared to me was no angel, but Jesus Christ himself, under the appearance of a seraph, who with his own hands impressed those wounds upon my body, as he himself received them in his body on the cross. And it was thus. On the day before the exaltation of the Holy Cross, an angel came to me, and bade me on the part of God to prepare to receive with patience whatsoever he should be pleased to send me. And I made answer that I was prepared to receive and endure whatever God should be pleased to appoint for me. And on the following morning, being the morning of Holy Cross Day, which in that year fell on a Friday, I left my cell at daybreak in great fervor of spirit, and went to pray in that very spot where thou now dwellest, where I was often accustomed to pray. And as I was praying, there descended through the air with great rapidity the figure of a young man crucified in the guise of a seraph with six wings. At which marvelous sight I knelt down humbly and began devoutly to contemplate the unbounded love of Jesus Christ crucified and the unbounded anguish of his passion. And such compassion did this spectacle excite within me that it seemed to me as if I felt that passion in my own body, and the whole mountain shone like the sun in his presence. And thus descending, he came close to me, and standing before me, he spoke to me certain secret words, which I have never yet revealed to anyone. But the time is now at hand when they shall be revealed. Then, after a little space, Christ departed and returned to heaven, and I found myself thus signed with these wounds. Go then, said St. Francis, and assure thy minister of these things, for this is the work of God and not of man. Having said these words, St. Francis blessed me and returned to heaven, accompanied by a great multitude of glorious spirits. All these things the said Brother Matthew declared that he had seen, not sleeping, but waking. And he made oath that he had thus related them to the said minister in his cell at Florence, when so enjoined by him to do under holy obedience. Chapter 54. How a holy friar, having read in the legend of St. Francis of the secret words spoken to him by the seraph, prayed so earnestly to God that St. Francis revealed them to him. It happened as a devout and holy friar was reading in the legend of St. Francis the chapter concerning the sacred holy stigmata, that he began in great anxiety of mind to ponder what those most secret words could be, spoken by the seraph to St. Francis, which he would never reveal to anyone in his lifetime. And he said thus to himself, St. Francis would never tell these words to anyone while he was alive, but now since his corporal death, he would perhaps reveal them were he devoutly besought to do so. And from that day forth the fervent friar betook himself to prayer, beseeching God and St. Francis to reveal these words to him. And after persevering for 8 years in his prayer, it was at last granted in the following manner. One day after dinner, as he was making his thanksgiving in the church, and remained there praying to this end with greater devotion than usual, and with many tears, he was presently summoned by another friar, by order of the Father Guardian, to go with him to the city on business of the convent. Not doubting, therefore, that obedience is more meritorious than prayer, he no sooner heard the command of his superior than he left the church, and went humbly with the brother who called him. And this act of obedience was so pleasing to God that by it he merited what he had not obtained for all his long years of prayer. For as soon as they had passed through the gate, they met two stranger friars, who seemed as if they had come from a far land, one of whom appeared young and the other lean and old, and by reason of the bad weather they were both wet and muddy, of which the obedient friar spoke thus to his companion. O dearest brother, if the business on which we are going may brook some little delay, seeing that these stranger brethren have great need of a charitable reception, I pray thee let me first go and wash their feet, and especially those of this ancient brother, and thou mayest wash the feet of the younger, and then we will go upon the business of the convent. Then the other friar, yielding to the charity of his companion, they returned to the house and most charitably received those stranger brethren, bringing them into the kitchen to warm and dry themselves at the fire, at which 8 other brethren of the place were already warming themselves. And after they had been a while at the fire, they took them aside to wash their feet, as they had agreed to do. Now, as the obedient brother was washing the feet of the ancient friar, he beheld on them the marks of the sacred holy stigmata, and immediately embracing them in joy and wonder, he began to cry, "Either thou art Christ, or thou art St. Francis." At that cry and at these words, the brethren who were at the fire rose up, and drawing near, beheld with great fear and reverence those glorious stigmata. Then the ancient friar suffered them at their earnest desire to behold them clearly, and also to touch and kiss them. And as they wondered more and more, and scarce believed for joy, he said to them, "Doubt not and fear not, beloved brethren and children. I am your father, Brother Francis, who by the will of God founded 3 orders. And inasmuch as this brother, who but now has washed my feet, has been beseeching me these 8 years past, and today more fervently than ever, to reveal to him the secret words spoken to me by the seraph when he gave me the stigmata, which words I would never reveal during my lifetime, now by the command of God, for his perseverance and for his prompt obedience, by which he left the sweetness of contemplation, I am sent to reveal to him before you that which he has asked to know." Then St. Francis, turning to the friar, said thus, "Knowest, dear brother, that when I was on Mount Alvernia, wholly absorbed in the remembrance of the Passion of Christ, in that seraphical apparition, I was thus stigmatized by Christ in my body. And then he spoke to me thus, 'Knowest thou what I have done to thee? I have given thee the signs of my passion, that thou mayest be my standard bearer. And as on the day of my death I descended into limbo, and by virtue of my stigmata drew forth, and took with me to paradise all the souls whom I found there, so do I now grant to thee, in order that thou mayest be conformed to me in death, as thou hast been in life, that when thou shalt have passed out of this life, thou shalt descend into purgatory every year on the anniversary of thy death, and by the virtue of thy stigmata which I have given thee, shalt deliver thence and take with thee to paradise all the souls which thou shalt find there of any 3 orders, minors, sisters, and penitents, with all others soever who shall have been devout to thee. And these words I never told to anyone while I was in life." Having said these words, St. Francis and his companion immediately disappeared. Many brethren heard this related by the 8 friars who witnessed the vision and heard the words of St. Francis. Chapter 55. How St. Francis appeared after his death to Brother John of Alvernia while he was in prayer. St. Francis once appeared on Mount Alvernia to Brother John of Alvernia, a man of great sanctity, while he was in prayer, and spoke with him for a long space of time. And before he departed, he said to him, "Ask of me